full of bile doing this podcast today.
Well, it was funny because it was like, we'll just get these couple of things out of the way before we press record. And then it was like nighttime.
It's now nighttime. We're going to go to a movie soon.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought, well, we're probably going to get enough time to say g'day, and I hope you're well, and look after yourself.
Well, I've been away. I've been in Melbourne for a week.
Yeah.
Did the Dum Dum 300th thing.
Yeah.
And which was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I've realised now that that podcast is just institutionalised bullying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know just... who I blame? Tommy Dasilo. No.
Oh, my God. I said the most inappropriate thing to him in the world, which probably won't go to the podcast because he edits it, but I'll do it now anyway.
Right. And then just work out roughly where it should have been and drop it in yourself.
It was right at the start. There was someone had asked whether, because it was their 300, and they were dressed in suits.
Mm.
And someone had said, is Tommy Dasilo, like, it might have even been Carl said, are you going to finally now show everyone this big old dick you keep telling everyone you've got? And I was like, please don't. If it looks anything like the rest of him, it's going to be horrible.
Oh, no. Oh, that's far out. That's a fucking nuclear warhead. Poor
well,
guy.
It was 10 minutes off from calling Dill fat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, bullying, number one.
Bullying. That's all that podcast is.
Yeah.
Like Carl said, oh, have you got any stories you can bring them? Nah, my angle is that I hate all you cunts.
Yeah, right.
And I think this is a terrible podcast. That's my story.
That's funny. It's really funny.
So, yes, that was... So, yeah, I've been away. Sorry, how's Sydney been? It's been good?
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, we've been rocking it. things have been swinging. And, you know, what I'm really enjoying is that... I finally feel like I while you're away, without meaning to, I just went full hipster. I went up, bought the record player.
Did buy a record player.
The sound bar. G'day, ladies. Bought the subwoofer, mate. And the TV that, from where I sit, it's like, oh, finally, I've got IMAX.
It's really big.
Yeah.
That's the same size of TV that my boyfriend had when I first met him in a bedsit.
Oh, Jesus. Right.
Like, wow. It was the whole wall.
Yeah. Gary could have slept on it. Imagine that.
I did suggest that one. I was like, can I sleep on the TV? It'd be more comfortable than this tiny fold-out bed you've got going on.
Yeah, gave up bed space so he could blast his eyeballs out.
Oh, also, like, because he had the TV at one end, and at the other end he had two... tower computers and four computer monitors on a desk.
Did you... What the fuck's going on? Like, did you accidentally start going out with Matthew Broderick in War Games? What the fuck is happening here?
You know, he's a graphic designer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. 400
graphic
computers.
Designer and inverted commas. He's got cameras on every one of us. It's probably a camera looking at us now.
Oh, he's paranoid about the cameras. He puts blue tack on the camera because he thinks people are going to record him. And I was like, honey, what... I have not been to the website of middle-aged, slightly pudgy Asians getting undressed and going to bed.
Right.
Because that is all that happens on this camera.
You could be making a buck, though. You know? Get your premium.
He's mental. I don't know why he says, but yeah. And now it's a thing. Like, it's such a thing. People are so paranoid about their cameras being taken over by... hackers and the NSA, you can buy these kind of like groovy camera blocker things that you clip onto your iPads and your iPhones, your laptops and stuff.
How much do they cost? I don't need one, but I want to get it.
They're like $12. Anything. You know, it's everything that attaches to one of your devices that's not really necessary, like a case or a thing.
Yeah.
They all cost $12.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I like that.
And they sell them in those little island shops in the middle of a shopping center. You know, they're just the little Hello Kitty cases.
It's a very subtle admission of guilt.
Yeah.
Which is also the name of my third memoir.
I'm still waiting for I'm flattered by that insult.
That was the fourth one, I think.
Oh, dearie me, I'm exhausted.
There's something. There's a lot of fun about just going through stages of your life and trying to work out what the memoir would have been. Touche me, touche. That'd be the second one.
Do you know the worst thing is lately? I've been... Gary bought me a beautiful present, which was the latest volume of Saga. The trade paperback.
Yeah, great.
Brian Vaughan and Fiona Staples.
Which part of it? Because I read it monthly.
I don't know. I guess it's the last five or six. I don't know. But I was like, I might just flick through the other ones just to refresh my memory of where I'm up to, like what I've read. I remembered very little.
Oh, really? Right.
Because I think I must have started reading it when I was doing radio, and I have no memories for like the entire decade.
Right. Wow.
Like the other night I was talking online with someone, and we were talking about, you know, I forget who it was. Oh, maybe Geraldine Quinn. We were talking about, is there an Aboriginal lesbian musician that you can just go, oh, that one? And I was like, oh, Deborah Cheatham. And she's gone, who's that? And I was like, oh, she's a soprano. She's written her own opera. She's got her own opera company. She was on Spicks and Specks once. And I was like, and on the same episode was Michael Franti. And Deborah was from the Stolen Generation. And Michael Franti had just started talking about how he'd been adopted.
Right.
Like, so he, you know, was a very different race than the parents who raised him, kind of thing.
Right.
So the same kind of, you know, experience. And they sat having this conversation and I was just sort of in the middle of them talking about it going, I have nothing to contribute here because I don't have any kind of shared experience, but I don't want to leave because this is fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh man, where do these, like, I completely had forgotten that had even happened in my life.
Right. That's a good thing to remember.
And yeah, but it's like, that's the thing with radio is like, I had so little sleep for so long.
Yeah.
That there's whole chunks of... I have a thing where my short-term memory just fucks off.
Yeah.
For about 3 years.
Right.
And then just things sort of appear filed away in the long-term memory. I'm like, I remember when this happened. I'm like, how did I not remember that for so long? Like, where has that been for the last... Like, when did we do Spix?
I sometimes have that sensation when I remember to eat certain snacks. Why haven't I been eating you all the time?
Have you had the Milky Bar with the toasted coconut?
No.
It's white chocolate with crunchy coconut in the bottom.
Well, I'm gonna give it a go tonight.
It's like a weird
watching Tarzan.
Kind of reverse bounty business. It's right. Really good.
Right. Reverse bounty.
Like it
sounds like a challenge.
Reverse bounty sounds like one of those disgusting sexual practices you don't actually want to know what it is.
Yeah. Sounds like a challenge and I'm the borderline diabetic who's ready to take it on.
It's a reverse bounty. Well,
you, you know, when you were caught in between that conversation, how good would it have been if you had the ability to use chameleon-like powers and just subtly fade into the background while it's happening so you can really enjoy and relax and nobody quite remembers that you were there. Oh. And then as soon as it's finished, you can just pop and you're back.
I kind of had to. Like I'd,
yeah.
But, and the other thing was, because part of my job at the TV show, being the team captain, was to, you know, make sure the guys who were on the show knew what was happening and where they were going. So we finished the show and they're starting to bump out the set. So at any point, I might have had to say, oh, come on, we'll go through to the green room. But I didn't want to stop the conversation. So I had to kind of keep an eye on what was going on around me and not kind of leave them alone. And
right.
Like, it's weird. It was an odd job to have.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. It was a great job.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, just weird things have gone out of my head. Anyway, so I was reading Saga and...
Oh, yeah.
I love it, but... You know, like with Ex Machina and Why the Last Man, you got a real sense that it was going... They were both going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like there was an end point in mind.
Yeah.
And then both of them had spectacular endings. Although I think in both cases, their endings felt like, oh, I would have spent another 4 years writing this ending, but we're just doing it in one issue now. Like,
yeah, right.
A lot happened in the final issues.
Yeah, I like that, though.
Both of those series. I love that. And both of them tied up so neatly that you go, well, I never want this to end. Like, you know, I never want a sequel of this.
Fuck, you know, the Ex Machina.
Yeah.
That is a spectacular ending.
Yeah, it's great.
That is, and it is, like, but I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, I'm the same. And I loved it, but I...
It was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's... He's great. Like, I'd give anything that Vaughn does a go.
But I feel like with this, there is no end point. I feel like he's just going, yeah, I'll see where this goes. Like, I know he kind of... You know, the narrative implies things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that's just him giving himself somewhere to go at some point.
Maybe. I don't know. It's very soap opera-ish, which is the fun aspect of it.
Yes. And then there is a soap opera in that soap opera.
Yeah. Yeah. Like kind of really pointing it out, yeah. You know. It's just great. It's really funny.
Yeah. And it's very... Oh, my God.
I love that seal character.
Which one's the seal character?
You know, with the little guy with the sword.
I don't know if I got up to him yet.
You haven't seen the seal?
No.
He's been in it. He lives on one of those planets where they went. I don't know. I don't know how else to describe it.
You mean not the little guy with the overalls?
He's a seal, isn't he?
I don't know what he is. I just thought he was a little fluffy guy.
Oh, right. I thought he was like a seal.
And he's got like yellow overalls and he can and he's constantly in touch with his herd. I like him.
I think if you got him right in a movie, he would be like, for some kids, their generation's R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like, he is fucking cute.
Because he's just like a farmer. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he's got a spine of steel. That's what I love about him. Yeah, it's funny. But there's drama to it and, where it's at the moment is... Anyway, it's really good. It's worthwhile getting
into. I laughed out loud. I had to put it down for about... I don't know, 10 minutes today, where I was reading one. I may not have even read this one before today, but I was got up to a point where, you know, they're always talking about the Robot King, because all the robots are, you know, like a caste system.
Yeah.
You know, they're a...
Yeah.
What do you call them? They're a royal family. There's
yeah.
Prince Robot the Fourth and
yeah.
Duke Robot and blah, blah, blah. And you've never met the king. And you meet a pauper and he's like a black and white TV for a head and all the rest of the royalty have like really nice... You know, roundish televisions for heads, and then you meet the king, and it's a double page spread, and it's like got your gigantic big widescreen TV for a head.
I know.
I was squealing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just got a great sense of humor.
That is so audacious. And you go, normally this kind of thing would make me go, oh, they fucked it. They've ruined it. There's just too many jokes in this show. No, that's hilarious. No. The king has a giant flat screen TV.
Mate, that guy is a master. He is a master storyteller. And so is she. Like, the two of them together are fucking magic, I reckon.
And I love the way that, like, she's kind of built above him on the cover now.
Yeah.
Like, they just flipped around one day.
Yeah.
They flip it every month. I don't know how it works.
I like that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I first saw her work in, she was colouring Fraser Irving's art in 2000 AD for a while.
Okay.
In doing that, you know how he has that really painterly kind of style? Like, obviously, he'd done, you know, bare minimum stuff, and she'd done the full...
Right.
Colouring on top of it.
Right.
So, yeah.
The inking.
Yeah. I don't know if she's done the inking or... I think she's done digital colouring. I don't know what. Who knows? She might have done the whole thing.
Man. No. But, that's great. Yeah, anything he writes, I'll give it a crack.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Is he doing TV still? He did that Dome thing that no one watched.
He left that after the first season, I think.
Have you watched, speaking of, because you know this, the replacement for that is a show called Brain Dead, which I think is on Channel 11 at the moment.
Oh, right. I haven't heard of that.
And it's the producers, it's the husband and wife team who created The Good Wife.
Right.
And it's it's set in Washington, and it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead is the lead actress from Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
So it's her and... Who else is in it? Oh, Tony Shalhoub from Monk is in it as well.
Right.
And there's a meteor and creatures come from outer space.
Right.
And take over the brains of several people in Washington. So there's this weird shit going on with, you know, it's kind of like set during the government shutdown. Right. And also they'll have like footage of Trump and Clinton on the telly in the background every now and again. So it kind of feels very contemporary.
Right.
And everyone is behaving extremely mentally, as has been happening during our election. But, you know, like the right is insanely right and the left is insanely left. Like there's kind of like a weird schism going on. And But yeah, half of them are now possessed by alien creatures. So there's this weird kind of, you know, there's exploding heads and just bizarreness. And then it's really funny. Like, they described it as the West Wing meets Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
And it's exactly like that. And the other weird thing about it is the recap on the next episode when they go, you know, like instead of doing last time and just having like a weird series of scenes, they've gotten some guy to sing a song.
Right.
Like, he sings a recap of the previous week's episode.
Oh, does he? Right. That's quite inspired.
It's really cute.
That's funny.
But yeah, I guess it'll be on 10. It's on channel 11.
I can give that a crack on my massive TV.
Your ridiculous television.
My God.
Love it.
You know, okay. Pop quiz.
Watch out.
What movie did I put in just to have a little look-see to see how it looked on the big screen?
It would have been Interstellar.
Yeah, nailed it. Which? Okay, this will be harder though.
All right.
This is actually going to be, like, if you get this, fucking triple the points.
All right.
I'm not making it difficult. I'm just saying.
Right.
So, what were the two scenes I watched from the movie to get the feel?
Was one of them Matt Damon trying to do the airlock lock?
Oh, yes. Ding. Yes. Good one. Good one. Good one. That is a home run. Mate, I wanted to see that fucking ship trying to dock over that white landscape as debris flying off. Man in another environment just leaving their shit everywhere. It can't be done. It's necessary.
Just music. I love that bit of silence where you go, oh, it's okay. No, it's not!
Oh, my God. Man, at IMAX, you would see people fucking jump.
Yes. Yeah, it was amazing.
Great. Yeah. And it just...
The only thing that was more surprising than that moment was when they unzipped it and it was Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Oh, my God. And the fact that he just turns out to be an arsehole is just fantastic.
I know, because you go, oh, he's the best. The only other person who could have played that, I reckon, is Tom Cruise. Where you go, yeah.
Imagine if that had been Tom Cruise. Fuck. That would have been mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But you know what? I reckon Matt Damon is just enough under that level of stardom that it's awesome.
Yeah.
But Tom Cruise would be, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, good. Yeah. Like, he'd do a good job.
Oh, he'd do an amazing job.
Well, maybe, you know.
He'd be really good. Like, it's. Have you seen, what's that film?
Collateral.
No, I don't mind Collateral. Oh. What's the one? It's an outer space one. And
Cocktail.
Yeah, Cocktail, where he's the space astronaut bartender.
Oh, Oblivion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he...
I thought that was okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, yeah. It's just... It was just... Yeah, because when you finally work out who he is in that movie, that he's, a clone of the best... astronaut who ever lived kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's millions of him.
Yeah.
Like, you go, of course it's Tom Cruise.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you go, why is Tom Cruise playing this character? It seems like I'm very not Tom Cruise. And then you go,
like, this is how perfect he is.
Yeah.
There's stacks of it.
Yeah.
Stacks of Cruise.
Stacks of Tom Cruise.
That's what they should have called that movie.
Stacks of Cruise.
Stacks of Cruise. People would have gone.
I really like Tom Cruise.
They would have gotten in. They would have been halfway through it going, oh, this is sci-fi. I just came to see Stacks of Cruise.
Stacks of Cruise. You know, the thing with Tom Cruise, though, is if he'd turned up in Interstellar, like, we all would have been suspicious of him from the minute they unzipped it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You would have gone, yeah, he's going to be dodgy.
Oh, I've seen Matt Damon talk about water in the real world. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to be on an ice planet finding something positive. I'll buy into this.
Yes.
He's got good politics. Oh, no. He's
a lovely man.
Mental. And I love that bit of music as well. Though, when that was one of the scenes when I was watching it with Mum, who just went, the music.
Oh, my God.
You're killing me, Andrea.
Gary watched the 3-hour Batman and Superman movie yesterday.
Why did he feel... Because
we were going to go and see it at the cinema, and I was like, it's terrible, but I'll see it again. And he's like, no, if it's terrible, that's 2.5 hours, we won't get back. And we saw 10 Cloverfield Lane, which was amazing, and an hour less.
Oh, yeah.
we got change from our time.
Yeah.
But he just wanted to sit, and I got home from a gig at like, I don't know, what, 11:30, midnight or something, whatever time you get home from gigs, and he still had an hour to go.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he was shouting about it already, like literally shouting. I'm like, honey, there are people trying to sleep in the apartments around us. You've got to stop shouting about how awful this movie is.
Right.
Justin goes, and it makes no sense. Why is this? Why is that? I'm like, yeah, none of it makes any sense. It's part of why it's awful.
Yeah.
It's because it makes no sense. But yeah, he persisted. And I watched like the last hour with him, and I was like, man, I forgot how intensely ponderous this thing was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really ponderous.
Yeah. Like, there's no, like, that last hour is the only hour with any levity in it, right, as well. Like, you know, you get the thing, well, I'm a friend of your son's. Yeah, I could tell, the cape.
Oh, yeah, that's a funny line.
That's a funny line. And, you know, and also in the last hour you get, you know, I thought she was with you. No.
Right.
You know, is she with you? No, I thought she was with you. You know, the funny bits. But, yeah.
I thought that bit was a bit on the nose.
It would have been fine if you'd never seen it in the trailer 400 times beforehand.
Right.
Like, when you finally see it in the film, you go, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. See, I'm someone who is quite fine with the Christian Bale Batman voice.
Yeah.
But you have to be like, Ben Affleck didn't pull off the growl joke.
Yeah.
You know, like Christian Bale could still, you know, make you laugh with, I'm not the one wearing hockey pants.
Yeah.
That's a cracking line. But yeah, what a shithole of a film. I saw the BFG.
Oh, how was the BFG?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I thought it was really good. Spielberg and Disney is a weird combination.
Well, it's tanked. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, like, it's disappointing. It has a little bit of an old school pacing compared to a lot of the animated films that these kids would be seeing.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's one thing. Also, I don't know if, is Roald Dahl too dark for kids now?
But when you say it's tanked, it's like, in this day and age, if movies came out and were allowed 3 weeks to find an audience,
yeah,
then I would say something tanked. But you know, it's all down to that first weekend.
Yeah.
So it can only have tanked in marketing. Like it can be no reflection on a movie if no one goes to see it, other than no one told anyone it was on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like all you've seen for months is Finding Dory.
Yeah,
like, that has been everywhere, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know that there are other movies on, to be honest.
No. I think they've all been taken off.
Yeah, they probably have. and, yeah, so I saw one ad for this the other day, and I was like, oh, that might be interesting. But that's the first I've seen of it, and it comes out this week.
Yeah.
And it's Disney, yeah, who is also Pixar.
Yeah.
So why would they compete with their own film?
Yeah, what do? They bring this one out and it's used as a placeholder or something.
Yeah,
it seems like a rough thing to do to a Steven Spielberg film.
Two movies out at the same time with a massive budget and,
yeah, right,
big animated audiences.
It seems like a conspiracy theory, but it's one I'm pretty keen to buy into.
But it just feels like, from a basic, if you looked at a calendar and said, where can we put this Spielberg animated movie, you don't go, oh, the week after the sequel to one of the biggest films we've ever done comes out.
Yeah.
You go, let's give it some room.
Yeah.
Because the other thing with animated films, they go for weeks.
Mm.
Like, it's not, that's that weekend and done.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a Hunger Games kind of issue. It's like they go for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they've got staying power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I thought Bridge of Spies was underrated last year. I thought that was really great. But once again, it was a bit of an old school pacing. And I wonder if audiences, you know,
want bang bang,
you know,
bang,
it's
bang,
like there's, you know, you have enough time to really see some solid acting.
Yeah, see, and I've been loving older shit at the moment. I've been watching Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh yeah,
and Deep Space Nine, and like '90s. I've just been really into Star Trek.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So much so that I feel like it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year, and I feel like they're not really doing anything for it.
Yeah, even with the movie coming out, like it seems muted.
I know, the movie's out like in next a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's nothing kind of out there.
I thought they made a real mistake using that Beastie Boys track again in the trailer, the first trailer.
What about the Rihanna one?
because the Beastie Boys bit was so cool in the first film, it looked a little bit like, hey, we're still cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't mind the trailer overall, but I thought that was a poor choice of music.
Yeah. It's, you know, the trailers hurt me at the moment. Because it feels like, I don't know, you know, if you go on the internet, all you see are people watching trailers, reviewing trailers, reacting to trailers, picking apart trailers. Like, does anyone ever go and see the movies? Like, I feel like that cinema at the moment is where comic books were in the 90s, where it was all about the fucking card stuck on the front or the, you know, the hologram cover or the 15th variant. And you go, is anyone reading the comic inside the plastic bag with the cards on it?
Well, it became a buyer's market, which blew, you know, a hole in everything.
And now
people buying so many goddamn variants and stifling the industry in the long term.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what movies are like now. They throw so much at the announcement and the trailers and
you have to hit hard.
And then sometimes, you know, the movie is the last thing anyone does any work on.
I find it really bizarre that I kind of know the drop-off of films. Oh, they only dropped 42%. Oh, that's good. And I'm like, why should I know that? Why? What's the matter?
But why is that a thing? Like, why you know, is that a thing? Once upon a time, the film would come out.
Good.
It would sit there. People would go and see it or they wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, keep reminding people it's on. That's what I keep doing with my TV reviews. I had to review The Briefcase. I fucking slammed it. And then just spent all that time talking. Watch Rake. Just watch Rake. Watch Clever Man.
I still haven't seen this week's Clever Man.
It's great. It's really good.
I love that show.
Yeah, I'm... Thursday night's a real treat. A real treat. I'm loving Rake like there is no tomorrow.
I know.
I thought last week was great. Tasma Bolton is fucking knocking it out of the park.
She's so good.
She is fucking great.
She's great.
Yeah, yeah. I was. It's been really a lot of fun watching her in two very different shows doing two very different roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I was. I texted to her that it was great, but it's so funny because it's like in one show she barely says anything and in the other one she has all the words. You know, that's what I was saying, like in her first scene she probably nailed all of Clever Man. But it's great. It's a real showcase. It's so impressive. But both shows are quality, and I'm rapt that they appear to be doing well. They're getting good reviews. Clever Man's getting really good reviews in the UK and America.
Oh, that's good.
So that's fantastic.
You know what I love about it? I was talking to someone about it the other day, and they said they found a bit of the dialogue was on the nose. And I went, yeah. I said, that is something that unfortunately happens when you don't spell everything out for people and you have to occasionally jam some exposition into the dialogue. Like, it's just every now and again, it's like... Which is treating us as if we're intelligent enough to keep up, which is great. So, you know, they don't have to explain what's going on. They drop you in the middle of it and you just have to work it out for yourself, like any good science fiction does.
Yeah.
But just every now and again when you're, you know, it is a hard thing to massage when you're like, okay, we need this information to be obvious for the audience now.
Yeah.
And we have to put it in that person's mouth.
Yeah.
And it's just occasionally it'll be like, this is the exposition scene, but you don't want to have too much exposition because it makes the scene boring. Like, it's a fine line to dance.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, entertainment is hard. It is. And I think they're doing a great job. I think it's been fantastic. I've enjoyed all the performances. And
speaking of entertainment, how did you feel about The Last of the Thrones?
Oh, I thought it was great. I was really... So I'd been with our friend Kathleen. I've been texting back and forth about stuff. And I'd said to her a couple of weeks ago, I feel like it's moving towards a show that's, you know, at times overstepped the boundaries with the way they portrayed women and the things that happened to them.
Mm.
I feel like they're working away towards a position where all women, or mostly all women, will be the big powers. And then so to see that come to fruition in that last episode,
yeah.
the little girl who runs that whatever empire is a fucking whoever came up with that. Fucking hats off. Like, that is a cracking character. Like, and that actress, I think she's fantastic. She makes me laugh. And when she stood up and admonished all those men, and you know she's got like 64 soldiers or whatever it is.
64.
Fuck, it's great.
It's, you know, and you know what I love is, like, she's, because that's, you know, Ian Glenn's character.
Mm.
Like, that's his family. Like, he was meant to be that person, but he got kicked out of the family for selling slaves.
Oh, which is it?
Yeah, that's why he's like, the whole thing with the slaves is like his kind of penance and him clawing his way back to respectability.
Right.
Because that's his family.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I hope they come face to face again. Oh, that was now that's the only thing I'm going to focus on. I don't care how anything else plays out. I'm just going to be really focused on a scene between those two actors because they're both great.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, she's amazing.
Something tragic like him with his grayscale.
Oh, yeah. He'll turn up with like just one patch of skin that's okay and be like, I've come home.
Yeah, that'd be
crumbles
amazing.
Dust on the floor.
Oh, I'd blow the budget on that. That would be great.
And how prescient were we the other... Last time we talked about this, because it was the episode where things almost happened, but you never quite saw them.
Mm.
And I was saying, I think they've saved it all up.
Oh, yeah.
For next week. And then you just get dragons and horses.
Oh, yeah.
And,
like, yeah, it was
and
fantastic.
So much violence. There's no, like, yeah, they did save everything for that week.
Oh, man. I thought Cersei blowing everyone up.
Oh, my God.
And then the king just walking off, that shot of him just walking. Oh, by the way, spoilers. Anyway. and him just taking the crown off and then just silently throwing himself out of the window.
It was a very good dive. That like, he would have made quite a nice splash if there'd been a pool down there.
Holy shit. Russian judge is still giving him a 6.7. But he was... I thought that was amazing. Her scene of kind of, you know, nowhere near as upset as she...
Yeah.
As you would have expected. Because I think I read and was reminded that that curse came true, or that prediction.
Yeah. Of like...
Of all the children being dead.
All the children will be dead. Two of them will be kings, but they'll all die.
And her being on top of the crown, of the Iron Throne is...
oh, yeah.
I think she's a fucking good actor.
She's so good.
And I think they've done good writing with her in so many ways where you've hated her and then you've kind of been on her side.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of you that admires what she did and now you just want Khaleesi to turn up and burn her up and then
hang out you know, together. How glorious was shame.
Oh, yeah.
Just torturing the poor nun.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
You just go, oh, wow.
Yeah. No, that was fantastic. I thought... Finally, because one of the things that frustrated me with last season was that Khaleesi's fucking eunuchs were meant to be these whip-ass fighters, and they just seemed to be getting taken out really like chumps. I was like, fucking, I want to see some Bruce Lee stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to see you guys go to town. Anyway, it finally seemed like the army was complete. Like, you know, with those crazy fucking, what are they, Dothrakians or whatever, and the dragons, the and it was like, oh, it was, I thought it was great, and the other two trying to put that one off to be killed, so they killed the other two.
Yeah,
it was great.
So good.
Jamie's going to be in a weird place.
Yeah.
I really wish, I still feel like, and I'm not alone in this thought, but... when Joffrey died is just, I feel like that was a storytelling misstep.
Yeah. I know what you mean, but I think it does make us go, like, because I feel like it had gotten to a point where they'd normalized the incest.
Right.
So that was no longer enough to make him seem like, you know, as much as he's a good guy at times, he's still a fucking asshole.
Right, yeah,
and,
I guess.
You know, and that has been...
Well, we were starting to think of him as a hero.
Yeah, and, you know, he saved What's-Her-Face from the bear, which was bizarre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, he's a tragic figure now because he's only got one hand.
Yeah.
But it is terrible that their shorthand in that show is, oh, we'll make them a rapist. Yeah. Or their shorthand for showing someone as a victim, oh, we'll rape them.
Yeah.
Like, it's a kind of a horrendous, you know, it just keeps happening in that show. And also, I think it gave Cersei some pathos because she'd kind of been horrific with that whole thing. Like, she's the one that pointed the finger at Tyrion. She's the one that, you know, set everyone against one another in that situation. And the only reason she did that was because, you know, he was sending a little girl away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of like it gave you sympathy for her. It made him seem like a monster again. And so I kind of see the point of it. I see the logical point of it.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely.
But
just could we have done something else?
Oh, yeah. We could have done something else entirely. Yeah. Like it could have been just a horrendous conversation.
Couldn't he have raped his father?
Oh, he had to be shot on the dunny.
What a way to go out. I tell you what, that scene between... Oh, we should get going.
We should have run down.
But that scene between Peter Dinklage and Emilia...
Clark,
I thought was spectacular when she gave him the...
The hand.
Pin. Yeah, like it was a really sweet bit of acting between the two of them. Yeah. And it was... I don't know. I found it really exciting. It made me get really excited for.
Although, you know, the last time someone got a hand pin, it never goes well for anyone who gets made king, the hand of the king or the queen.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Well, I know a lot of people have been complaining about this season, but I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the ones I've enjoyed the most.
Do you know what I think it is? I was talking to my sister about this the other day.
It's just. Certain plot points now need to be hit?
No, I think it's the same thing when was it the newsroom, the Jeff Daniels show that was on?
Yeah.
No one liked that when it was on because people who watch HBO want relentless misery.
Right.
And this season had a lot of positive notes in it and it's...
Right.
Because the story is on the upswing.
Right.
You know, like we've been through the...
Yeah, the horrific.
Yeah, we've been through the bottom of the U and now we're coming up to the other side as the, you know, the story kind of gets towards the end. So we're in an upswing, we're in a positive swing of the story. Yeah. And people who watch HBO don't want anything positive.
Yeah, well, it's like you kind
just
of...
just want depression.
You want Lord Bolton to be killed, but when it kind of happens it's almost like, oh well, I got what I wanted.
Yeah,
like it would have been like, imagine, like it would have made no sense storytelling wise but imagine if he'd killed Jon Snow.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that's the thing, it's been a positive season. And yeah, oh my god, do you know who was amazing? This is the scene that stuck with me the most. Liam Cunningham has to be my favorite actor in the show. When Sir Davos comes in with the burnt toy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And basically says, what did you do to that little girl?
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, I was in tears. I was just like going, oh, my God, he's amazing. He's been storing this up for years.
Yeah, he's a very good
actor. He's such a great actor.
He is something else.
Like, it was just one of those breathtaking moments where his voice just caught at that moment. You went, oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's feeling it.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed. I thoroughly enjoyed this season. I felt like it's been between Rake... The three things I've been able to have time to watch have been Rake, Clever Man, and Game of Thrones. And it's been like, oh, this has been a good few weeks.
Yeah.
This is some quality TV.
What am I going to do? Mr. Robot's not on for another 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait.
I'm very excited about Mr. Robot.
Yeah. Yeah, so am I. Yeah. Hey, we're gonna
go.
Let's go. Yeah.